Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, again, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God is truly missional. It reveals true life and freedom in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news of the gospel. And it is made known to us, made real to us through this new covenant. And that's our subject for the month. We've been talking about the new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his death. And this week we're talking about the four specific promises of the new covenant. The fact that God is going to put his laws in our minds and write them on our hearts. He does that through the Spirit. So that shows us that this covenant is internal in nature. It's not something external. And then we talked about yesterday the fact that we will be their God, and they will be my people. I will be their God, and we will be their people.
Too.
That's right. That's right. So we have that sense of belonging, that sense of assurance. And today is promise number three in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 8. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. And so in this promise, he's promising a personal relationship. He's promising an intimate relationship with God the Father. That's pretty exciting, isn't it, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you think about Christianity and how folks think that, you know, Christianity is a movement or it's a program or it's a self-improvement system or any of those things. But really what we're seeing here, Bob, is, you know, you get intimately acquainted with the God of the universe. I remember my dad passed away a couple decades ago here, but he told me this story that, this lady in his church was actually the pastor's wife at the time. She was listening to her own testimony on tape. She had created a testimony tape for training. And as she was listening to her tape, she led herself to Christ. And you look at that, you say, you know, why didn't she get it before? I guess she had religion, she had church, she was a pastor's wife, she was doing all these things. But really, this new covenant relationship is when it dawns on you, whoa, I can actually know the God of the universe and I can have him live within me in Jesus.
Absolutely. And I love how the writer of Hebrews put this, know the Lord because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. We like to draw lines of division. You know, here in the church, we have the division between clergy and laity. And, you know, if you're just a lay person, you think, well, I can't know nearly as much as those guys who have studied, who've been to seminary. And, you know, I just have to take what they tell me is truth. And this verse kind of just explodes that myth, doesn't it? If you have come to Christ by faith, you can know God personally. You can know his ways. You can know his thoughts. And you can express those to other people. That all comes through this humble dependence upon the Lord. So we have to realize that in Christ and in this new covenant, we're all equal. We've all been declared to be children of God. There's not a hierarchy there. And I think this is a wonderful, wonderful thing to bring about unity within the body of Christ, to not have so many divisions. And we get puffed up on our knowledge. We get puffed up on, you know, I've studied the original languages. Well, you still need the Spirit of God to teach the truth. That's just the way it is. And so we have to realize that in this new covenant, we all know the Lord, and we can learn from one another. And I think when we do, I think that's when we truly experience unity within the body.
But historically, Bob, it seems like we've been sending out the message that's the polar opposite of everything you're saying. I mean, you look at the Catholic Church and the traditions there, you know, after 300 years pass, folks are starting to put on special uniforms. The services, the church services, are in languages that people don't understand, like Latin. And it seems to be the whole message is, well, there's an elite few, there's an elite chosen that dress differently, act differently, separate themselves geographically, and they're the ones that have the pipeline to God. They're the ones that can know Him, and you have to relate to God through these people. And then, you know, the New Covenant is just blowing open the doors, saying, no, no, you've got direct access. It's one-on-one with God Himself.
Yeah, that is good news. And if you're listening today, and if you're, you know, struggling in your relationship, you think, hey, I just, you know, I'm not as smart as that guy up in the pulpit, or, you know, I don't read my Bible as much. Listen to the words. Listen to this promise, because God is saying to you, He's opened the doors into His mansion so that you can come in and know Him personally. And He's going to give you everything you need. And if you will humbly listen and receive and grow, you'll have stuff that'll blow everybody else away, because you will be knowing the ways of God, the thoughts of God, and the person of God through your faith in Jesus Christ.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'd love for you to join the conversation. 1-800-677-9377. If you have something you'd like to add to this particular part of it, if there's some Bible question you have, or if there's some issue in life you're facing, well, we'd love to hear from you right now. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk with Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Joe. Could you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, I'm in New York. I'm sorry,
okay.
Bob. God bless you guys. Thank you. I would like to visit two topics. That I think it was on yesterday's show, Bob. One was a woman called up regarding Lent. And Lent, essentially what it is the commemoration and the imitation of Christ's fasting and praying in the wilderness for 40 days. I think you could find that out in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. But my main topic, Bob, is what you were talking about on Hebrews chapter 10 yesterday. And the verses you cited, you know, they were good verses, but I want to go over them again. In verse 10:10, it says, "For by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." These are believers. Verse 14, again, you said, "For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." Believers again. Verse 26, he says, "For if we go on sinning," he's talking about believers again, because if you look at verse 29, when we hit verse 29, it says, "How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified?" Now, you said that these were non-believers, but all these verses talk about the sanctification of a believer.
Well, you're going to draw the conclusion that you can lose salvation. That's where you're going there.
Yes.
And I don't think that's what Scripture teaches, because I don't think... Here's my opinion on that, Frank. If we could lose salvation, no one would have salvation. Sin is just too much for us to overcome. That's why we needed the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we need the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. That's why we need the faithfulness of His promises to us in this new covenant. Otherwise, all of us would be lost or doomed. I just don't think anybody could stand on their own two feet and keep their salvation through their obedience. I just don't think that's possible. So
I would like to say
the other issue, I think, Bob, it's a great point in this passage, is just, you know, it doesn't actually say that the person is going to get what they deserve. It's just a rhetorical question in verse 29. It's asking you as the reader what you think. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot. And the previous verses talk about rejecting the law of Moses. So there's a comparison here. In other words, guess what you got if you rejected the law of Moses? Well, it wasn't pretty. So how much more do you think you deserve? Doesn't say you're going to get it, but it says it's reasoning with you with a rhetorical question. How much do you think a person deserves to get if they trample the Son of God underfoot? But then the whole chapter and all these thoughts wrap up in verse 39. Here's an incredible news. It says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. So he is clarifying. He knows chapter 10 is scary. He knows it'll be misinterpreted, but he wraps it up by assuring believers. He says, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. And that's part of this new covenant promise.
Well, he's certainly encouraging the listeners in verse 39. Absolutely. But that doesn't necessarily mean that what I'm trying to say is that these are all people that are being sanctified by the blood of Christ. Non-believers are not sanctified by the blood of Christ. In the situation with a man and his wife, who's one's a believer and one's spouse is a believer, yes, in that sense. But these are talking about believers. When you mention the law of Moses, yes, this is relating to Deuteronomy 29, verses 18 to 20, but you contrast those verses with Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8, and you'll see that he's quoting Hebrews 6. He's quoting Deuteronomy in those verses. Also, you have problems with when it says in Timothy, if we deny him, he will deny us. In Titus it says, they claim to know God, 1:16, but by their actions they deny him. So when we deny Jesus, we could deny him verbally, but we could also deny him by our actions. And if we deny him, he will deny us. You know, I believe that we're all believers in God. Jesus prayed for unity four times in John chapter 17, and I'm totally for that.
Yeah, but we just don't agree, Frank.
I know
that you've got six or eight passages that you want to quote from and talk about, and I just think that the bottom line of them is that we would be justified by bravery. I mean, and I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach that we are justified by bravery.
I don't know.
We're
how
justified
you're
by Christ. Hang on,
because,
hang on, just a sec. We're justified by Christ when we put our faith in Him. But yeah, to deny Jesus is to reject the gospel, and to reject Moses or to deny Moses or to reject the gospel or to deny the gospel. Yeah, those are serious things. I mean, you're saying Jesus is not enough. And so the Hebrew people, if they rejected or denied Jesus, then yeah, there was no salvation in the law. But, you know, once you're in Christ, it's just a whole different ball game, and we disagree on that, and that's okay. But we don't want to, on this program, I don't think we want to just be teaching people that they can lose their salvation. That's not at all what we believe.
We could hold to the royal law and the law of liberty, which I completely agree with, in the new covenant, love of God and love of neighbor, only by the grace of Christ. That's how you could do it. That's what I'm trying to say. That's how you could carry out the Ten Commandments, by the grace of Christ. You can't do it by bravery. You can't do it on your own accord. What I'm saying is I believe I ran into many of them in my lifetime, where you would swear these people are believers, that they couldn't be any more devoted to Christ. And believe me, now they're living in sin. They're living in a constant state of sin. And
Frank, I've met a lot of those people too, and I don't know that we can build a theology around people that we've met. I think in churches every single Sunday, there is going to be a very high percentage of those people seated in those pews that are not saved at all. They will tell you they're saved, but when you talk to them about the gospel message, what it really is and what it means to trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to look at you with a blank stare as if they've never heard that before in their lives. Why? Because they're there for other reasons. They're there for other purposes. And then when life gets tough for them and situations press down, and you know what they really believe comes to the surface, and it looks like they're walking away from the faith. But in reality, they never were a part of the faith. They had never come. And I think that's who the writer of Hebrews is really addressing there. They've heard, they've seen, they've tasted, but they've never really swallowed and digested and let this become a part of who they are. They've never really been ushered into this new covenant through faith in Jesus Christ. So, but Frank, we always love hearing from you. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377. We have plenty of open lines, as I said earlier, plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Andrew Parley, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. And we want to give you the phone number one more time, 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada.
We're going to go to Clifton, New Jersey, and talk with George. Hi, George.
Hi. I got a question on Luke 11. Chapter 11, verse number 13, please.
Luke 11, verse 13.
13, yes. I'm wondering if you can receive the Holy Spirit by just asking the Father. Is that what it says there?
Well, here's what it says. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit was promised. It was something promised to us in the Old Covenant, and we find that that promise was fulfilled in the New Covenant. It says in the book of Galatians, for example, that all who come to Christ by faith, whether Jew or Gentile, receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. That's part of this salvation package that we experience the moment we're saved. So I think he's just giving us some insight into the goodness of God, that God wants to give to us what we truly need, what's truly going to be beneficial to us, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when we're seeking God, when we're trying to find God, when we're all of those things, what we're going to get in return is salvation, which is, I think, sealed with this gift of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so can we pray for it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, so he freely gives us all things, the Bible says. So, you know, when we ask of God, we're saying, you know, just like Rahab, who had a mess of a life. Rahab was had a checkered past. She was a prostitute, and she opened the door, and that was what she needed to do. She opened the door and received some spies, some men who were of God. In the same way, we turn the doorknob of our hearts, and we open the door, and we ask the Holy Spirit to come live within us. And that's what salvation is. Is that something that you've already done in your life, or are you thinking of doing?
I believe so, yeah. I was just looking at this verse and seeing, I'm not 100% sure, actually, is what I'm saying.
Would you like to receive Christ today and just nail that down and be sure?
Absolutely.
Well, why don't we do that right now?
Okay.
You could pray with us together and just open your heart to the Lord and say, Jesus Christ, I invite you into my life.
I invite you in my life. Come in.
And I open my heart to the Holy Spirit to make me new.
And I open my heart to the Holy Spirit to make me new.
I count on Jesus Christ and his death.
I count on Jesus Christ and his death.
For total forgiveness of my sins.
For total forgiveness of my sins.
And I count on Jesus' resurrection.
And I count on Jesus' resurrection.
For brand new life and a way to real change.
For a brand new life and a real change.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.
Well, Basic Gospel is here for this very thing, and that is just to continue to allow people the opportunity to hear the gospel, to believe it, and that's what you've done today. And, you know, Bob is going to tell you about a free resource or two that I'm sure we'd love to send you.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely,
you.
George. We want to help you in this journey. First of all, you know, there's a party going on in heaven right now. There's a lot of rejoicing over you, George.
And there's some right here as
that's
well.
That's exactly right. And we join in that, and so welcome to the family. You're a child of God. We're children of God, so we all stand together as brothers in Christ. So praise the Lord for that. We have some wonderful resources that can really help solidify this for you, build that solid platform underneath your feet where you can drive the stake and be anchored in this salvation once for all. So, George, again, we're so excited for you, excited that you picked up the phone and called today. Thank you for letting us be a part of your life in this very, very special way. And what I'm going to do now is simply put you on hold. We're going to get your information and send you some resources that will help you in your new journey with the Lord. And we want to stay connected, okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, George. You hang on.
Welcome to the family, okay. George. Yeah, what a privilege.
That's what it's
have.
All about right
you
there,
bet.
Guys. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And it's such a special thing. I mean, we're dead in sin. That's what the Bible tells or says about us before knowing Christ. We're mastered by sin, controlled by the ways of this world. We truly were slaves. And Jesus Christ rescues us from that and sets us free and gives us new life. And that's what salvation is being made alive in Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happened with George, and we'll all just rejoice with him. So, Andrew, thanks for leading that. Boy, that was special.
Yeah, it sure was, Bob. And like I said, I mean, you know, basic gospel, that's all that we're about. We want people to be invited to Jesus and then grow in Jesus. And it doesn't have to be difficult to talk about these spiritual matters when someone wants to learn and wants to know Jesus. You know, it doesn't take a set of memorized words or presentations. When the heart is willing and God's moving, it is really just about a simple response from the heart of man.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's quickly go up to Bayville, New York, and talk with William listening to us on WMCA. Hi, William.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing well. What's
on? Okay, in 1996, I was drawn to the church. I got, you know, I accepted Christ, and I went ahead and I was baptized in the name of Christ. I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But today, these days, I feel like the prodigal son that I can't get back. And it's like, I love the Lord every day. I get up, I say, you know, the Our Father who art in heaven, and I say, you know, thank you first and foremost. I love the Lord, but I just can't find myself living for him every minute. And you know, the man said before that you could lose your salvation, and I feel that in my ear all the time. If you keep going or if you can't change, you're going to lose your salvation.
Well,
and,
you know let me just
thing.
Say, we're running out of time here, but let me say that, you know, the truth always sets you free. And what we want to do is keep you on the line here after the program and make sure that you get some things that strengthen you, not making you stronger, but stronger in your dependence on Jesus. We don't want you to try to live for God. You've been trying to live for God. We want you to know what it means to live from God and from what Jesus did for you. It's all about him. It's not about you and your ability and your strength. We want you to be built up in Jesus, and we're going to help you do that.
Absolutely.
So you hang on the line, William.
Absolutely. Well, we're just about out of time, friends, but we want to remind you that when you support Basic Gospel, you're supporting a lot more than just a radio program. You're supporting, as you've heard today, the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege we all have to take part through our gifts to Basic Gospel. This month, we're offering an exciting new resource, our latest Bible study series, The New Covenant Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You're going to find it on our website at basicgospel.net. Or you can call during Central Time office hours, 9 to 6, 1-800-727-2828, and speak with our operator. That's 1-800-727-2828, the New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And if you like what you're hearing on this broadcast each day, if it's resonating with you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.